We're talking to Adam Frogley. He's a director of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Unit for the National Tertiary Education Union.
Hey, Robbie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Thanks for coming on the show. Can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Look, my mob's Tunnerong. But I've been born and raised in Yarra Valley in Ellsville, so I grew up with a lot of the sort of Wurrung and a whole lot of communities. You know, we had Wiradjuri here as well, and also out at Warrawa. Got all the mob that come down to Warrawa College as well, so there's a few different communities that sort of, you know, reside within the Yarra Valley. And yeah, you know, I've just been here, been involved in business there. Oh, gosh, I can't tell you how long till now. You know, working in it, probably 20 years. Started out in the Shire Yarra Ranges, being a community development officer, Aboriginal community development officer, and then went across and looked after Aboriginal programs for Swinburne University, and then got a job at the NTU, which is where I am now, being the unit coordinator, or so whatever it's called, for the union. So so basically been doing that since 2007, and like you were saying, Robbie, you sort of get so frustrated and drained as a result of all these, you know, these fights that we have all the time, just simply trying to get heard, let alone get anything from people. I mean, and it's one of the things that, you know, we just keep battling. We've got to keep battling, and I know it's bloody difficult, and it's detrimental to so many of our mob, to, you know, for health reasons and a whole lot of other things that it just impacts. So, you know, we just got to keep going. We've got to keep fighting, and we've got to make sure that, if nothing else, that it's, you know, our side of things is put on record, particularly through a truth and truth telling commission. I think that's so important.
Yeah, I agree, brother. You know, it is so difficult, and yeah, these are really important issues for our people, particularly our old people. You know, they've seen it all disappear. And, you know, even today's generation is seeing what's happened, how we're being robbed, and it's just been an ongoing process for us. But, you know, your history gives you, what you've been doing, it gives you, you're qualified to speak on, you know, on all this stuff. And, you know, really appreciate the work that you do. You've got to keep doing these types of work. Someone's got to do that hard, you know, do the heavy lifting here, and the hard work never gets recognised, really. But at the end of the day, yeah, you know, you keep at it. You know, and, you know, 100 years is not a long time when you look at our history. And, you know, we've got a lot to fight for here. And, you know, we owe it to our ancestors. It's about time for some justice. It's been 250 years, nearly to the week. How do you see the future? Do you see, you know, what sort of moves have you tried to make on the system to get them to recognise us, and legally, or is it political argument, or how do you go about doing that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, from our perspective, being with through the union, it's a lot of lobbying, really. We go up and speak to a lot of the politicians in Canberra. You know, we probably don't get to speak really to many of the government ministers, but we speak to the opposition, we speak to Greens, we speak to others about, particularly for me, issues in higher education for Aboriginal people, for students and staff, and, you know, it's one of those things we've just got to keep the political pressure on, like in regards to the stolen wages, in regards to the intervention. You know, a lot of these things, I mean, even the removal of children in New South Wales, like it just went, it was, you know, some legislation that went through last year there. You know, we just got to keep fighting, and we've got to just keep, you know, keeping our eye on the goal. And, you know, it's one of these fights that's just going to be a generational one. It's already been that. We've already seen torches being handed from generation to generation, and if we set our sight on that goal, ultimately, you know, I reckon we'll get there. But we just got to be careful about the road that we go down as well, too, and to make sure we're not being, you know, the old trick of, you know, doing one, you know, showing you one thing while something else is happening. So we just got to keep an eye on that. That's the one thing that I'm concerned about as well. But yeah, the lobbying of politicians, that's really one of the main ways we do it. Campaigning as well too. We get out there and try to, as much as possible, raise awareness of issues like stolen wages and others impacting the mob. We just try to get that information, particularly out to our union members, because we want them to be aware. We want them to understand that what's going on in communities at the moment, because, as we both know, brother, there's no way that even tidbits of information or small amounts of information get to, the mainstream media at all. And so it's good to be able to at least provide that information to our union members who are aware then of exactly what the situations are. So yeah, it's a couple of different things. We're just trying to build these campaigns, keep them going, and yeah, it's been a long time fighting. even just in the last 10 or 15 years, where this has become, a real issue with the stolen wages, particularly like in New South Wales, they had that first scheme running from 2004 to 2011, and then we've had the Dr. Roz Kidd. She wrote that book back in 2007, and since then there's just been a roll on of different things that have happened, which is, it's good to get that support, it's good to get that evidence base so we can use that, but again, apart from, some schemes in, say, New South Wales, Queensland and WA, here in Victoria, they're not particularly interested, about what's been going on. And I think it's due to the fact that, there's some research that was produced by the government itself back in 2007. It didn't bode favourably for the establishing a stolen wages repatriation scheme here. So therefore, that's the report they've been listening to, as far as I'm aware.
How is the unions travelling at the moment? I know they've been kicked around a lot.
The union's got a good policy committee, so we've got 11 member Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander policy committee, which gives us that political say within the union. And myself and Celeste Little, we both work out of the work, or we basically are the unit for the national office, the NTU. So, we just look after a whole lot of stuff there, just different bits and pieces. So it's like you were saying before, brother, about the university sector. It's troubling times, and I just think it's, not to mention with the health crisis, there was always, things were never certain in the sector for our students and for our staff as well. It's just one of those things of trying to keep it on the radar, not only of government, but more importantly, the universities themselves, because there are some universities that, are reasonably good in what they do, particularly for our purposes, in particular, trying to get more employment within the sector. But, there are other universities out there that, take the approach that it's not a priority, basically, to be able to try to create a more cultural learning and working environment by having more and more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people there. It's just one of those things. And when we look at also, we did some research a couple of years ago about the amount of racism and cultural disrespect, even lateral violence that happens on campus, and you see, particularly with the racism and the cultural disrespect, it's up, I think it was about 98% have experienced racism in society, and I think it was about 94-95% had received, had experienced racism within the university sector. And that, that comes back. That's really, from my perspective, it's really disappointing in a lot of ways. That's just, putting it lightly, just because of the fact that we, these are meant to be the bastions of higher learning and, thinking and thought. And we end up having situations where our mob go to work to be in a very culturally unsafe environment. And that takes its toll on families, takes its toll on health, and you you've got to start to look at why it is that these places are like that, and try to, you know, as well as, you know, putting out that, you know, that one, you know, trying to deal with a whole lot of other issues that are going on as well. So it never ends, brother.
Yeah, thanks for that, Bruce. You made me think of curriculum then, and the narrative of this country's history, particularly the history of the country. That narrative is such an important thing to be learning in school. You know? When I went to school, I know my mum alerted to me to Captain Cook or Lieutenant Cook. Yeah, when I was a kid, when I went to primary school, I had those clashes with the primary school teacher, Mrs. Crane from Yalon Primary School. I clashed over Cook instead of my brothers and sisters. When my children went to school, they had the same issues with this narrative that's been imposed on our people here, this lie about Cook and all of that. And my granddaughter, who went to Caulfield Grammar here, she had the same problem, and it affected her marks at the end of the day too, because she had to, you know, had the gall to question the teacher's understanding of our history and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just really wondering about, you know, I think curriculum is such an important thing to be a standard here in Australia, right across the board, about that issue, you know, the history in particular. Yeah. That would change a lot of people's attitudes in the country, right through the education system in particular. And, you know, why haven't we got that? You know, that would stop a lot of racism if people understand who we are exactly and what exactly happened here. It's not forthcoming, it seems. It's been a lot of money spent in Aboriginal education, a lot of income, not much outcome, it seems to me.
That's right. Yeah, no, I'd agree. No, that's right, brother. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of these institutions, the universities in particular, if we just look at that, they'll offer up things like cultural awareness training or cultural competency training or whatever it is, but you know, in general, that can be anywhere from an hour through to a day's worth of, you know, cultural understanding and knowledge put forward. And sometimes it's not even something that's in an actual presentation or sort of video format. It's actually a ticker box sort of thing on a internal survey. So these things are just, when we look at the level of education that's even offered to staff within the institutions themselves, it's a great concern. And, you know, like you're saying too about the curriculum, I mean, if there's no truth in the curriculum, you know, it's, you know, how can we possibly, you know, in all good conscience, try to pass this information on to the next generation? It's no matter who they are, there's no point in keeping this sort of illusion up that everything was hunky-dory and that, us mob were, you know, doing poorly, you know, and we needed to have more infrastructure, roads and houses and all the rest of it before we were deemed to be civilised. So, you know, just to me, it's, without the truth, there's really no foundation, there's no understanding, and we're still peddling things like, I mean, even today, we've got that, Captain Cook or the First Fleet sort of, let's go around Australia with a boat that's been built and all the rest of it. It's, you know, to me, it's just it's a waste of money. There's a whole lot of other stuff that you could be allocating those particular funds to, and it's, what, you know, for the whole point of there's really going to be little to no Aboriginal input, I would suspect, or it'd only be, again, some sort of tokenistic sort of thing. To me, it's there's no truth there.
Thanks for joining us today. And just before you go, can you give us some contact details, please?
The contact details are on the website, nteu.org.au and /ATSI for our webpage, which has a list of our contact details and support. Contact number for it is 9254 1910.
Thanks again, Adam. You're listening to Black and Deadly Community Radio 3CR 855 on your AM dial.